This is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, part 23. And today's title is Overcoming the Enemies of Our Peace. And using this one statement on all of these because it makes a statement on who this man is that's walking in peace. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is walking in the peace and rest of the Lord. This person exercises the fruit of peace in every area of their life. They are at rest in God's living word. Now, one thing that doesn't mean is that it doesn't mean that you're walking around through your life in flowery beds of ease. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have issues or problems. It doesn't mean you're not going to have decisions to make. But your habitual lifestyle is walking in peace. And we mentioned before, walking in peace does not mean an absence of conflict. In one of our, I think it was the first one. You're going to have conflict when you're trying to walk in peace. And the biggest fight that you'll ever have, as we mentioned, is the fight up here in your head. The fight to maintain that peace. Because the world is going contrary to walking in peace. Now, they have a false peace that says absence of conflict. We'll have peace as long as you do it my way, you know, so to speak. Or when one is defeated and the other one can't do anything, so there's one, that now we got peace. There's no war, no fight. But that's not peace. That's not God's peace. God's peace passes all understanding. It's something in John 14:27, Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you." The Amplified says that he gives and bequeaths his peace to us. I love that version because it shows that the peace that he's given is not the world's, it's his own, but he's giving it to us at his death as a will. He's willing us his own peace, not the world's peace. So, you know, there's the peace that we're talking about here. This person that's walking in the ways of the Lord is walking a peace that's not of this world. That's why Jesus said, I'm not giving you a peace like the world gives to you. It's not the same kind of peace. That's in John 14, 26 and 27. I love that version. So a person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person walking in peace and rest. It's because he's made a quality decision. I'm going to walk in peace. And who backs that peace? God does himself. When you make a decision to walk in peace in your life, God backs that decision. He'll back it. And he gives you his own spirit who lives inside of you to see to it that you can walk in that peace. And we mentioned in our previous lesson that peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and we'll be using this particular verse, Galatians 5, 22-23, probably throughout the next few sections of this study on walking in the ways of the Lord, because we'll be talking about the elements of the fruit of the Spirit. We know that all of them work by love, and we know that they're all fruits. And the fruit is a product of something, like an apple is a product of an apple tree. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the New King James, and then we'll look at verse 22 in the Amplified. And we talked about this before, that it's so important for us to keep coming back to it, especially as we study the fruit of the Spirit. And again, the reason we're studying the fruit of the Spirit is because it's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. It's a list of his ways. These fruit of the Spirit is a list of how he behaves, what he does, how he responds, his angle of view of things. And since the Word says, as he is, so are we in this world, it's also our ways. Are supposed to be our ways. So when we look at these fruits, we're looking at a list of what my life is supposed to be looking like. the fruit that I'm supposed to be bearing. New King James Version, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The law he's talking about is the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death cannot affect the fruit of the Spirit because it's God's own fruit. It's God himself. It's his ways. And what the neat thing about that is that I just love is when you come to the revelation that the fruit bearer, the one that bears the fruit, the one that carries the fruit and brings it to us is the Holy Spirit. It's his fruit. And he's living inside of us because we are born again. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit came in. He's there. And he brought the fruit with him. So they're present. All of these fruit are present in every single believer. That's why we're studying them as we study walking in the ways of the Lord. Because all of these are present in you if you're born again. And God expects us to walk in them. That's why he gave us his own presence. It's so that we could be his witness. We could be his emissary in the earth. We walk in his ways to show who he is. So his glory can flow through us to others. So that when they look at Michael, they see a person that's walking in these ways. Right in the midst of the worst storm of life, Michael's walking in peace in the middle of that storm. How does he do it? I'm not doing it on my own. I'm being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He's strengthening me right in the middle of this storm. And that's what they should see. Did he mess up a few times during that walk? Yes, he did. But he got right back up again. He got into the Word and the Lord lifted him back up by the Word. And strengthen him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's so neat that we have the strengthener living inside of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's part of our spirit. He's part of who we are. That's so awesome to me. Well, we're going to look at verse 22. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified Classic, just the first part of the verse, because it states what I've been talking about. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. So these fruit, they're a work that the Holy Spirit does. They're not the work that I do. I'm calling them up. I had an opportunity this week to call up on the fruit of the Spirit, on the fruit of joy. You have to call it up. These fruit are present in everyone, but it doesn't mean you're walking in them. If you're not walking in the fruit, it's because you're not calling it up. You're not receiving them. You're not doing anything to bring them up, but they're there. They're just dormant. They're not activated. See, I have to activate them. And what I had to do, the Holy Spirit brought this up to me. Well, I was going to be doing something that I was not very comfortable with doing. I never am. So as I was praying, the Holy Spirit said, my spirit call up the fruit of joy. So I did that. And when you do that, you need to confess it. So I went out and told her what I was doing. And she agreed with me. Because we both know that process. So I called it up. And it worked. It always works. Sometimes we don't work it. Or we don't believe it or trust it. But that fruit is present. And that's my whole point. So as we go through these fruits, as we go through walking in the ways of the Lord, we're going to be looking at each of these fruits as we go. And that same thought will be in every one of them as we do this and as we walk through this together. The fruits of the Spirit are already present in every born-again child of God. There's none that the fruit are not present in, if they're genuinely born again. Now, if they just go to church and they've done a formula of confessing with their mouth, it's just a formula, they weren't serious about it, that fruit never happened. It never came in because they're not genuinely born again. They never made a quality decision. It's more than just saying words. It's your faith in those words. It's you meaning business.
Yes.
I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm laying aside my old life. I want Jesus. And you confess Him as your Lord and your Savior.
Oh, thank you.
And when you do that, the Holy Spirit comes in. He's instantaneously there. You, the old man, died. And the Holy Spirit came in and your new man was brought to life again inside you. That's what happened. And when that new man came forth, the Holy Spirit is what brought that new man forth. And now my spirit, Michael, is one with Him. And that's why these fruit are there, because He's there. We're one. But if I'm not calling them up, even though they're there, they're not active. Yeah, I need to do something to exercise them, to believe them. So, the fruit of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, are already present in every born-again child of God. Peace, like the other fruits of the Spirit, must be developed. I can call on that fruit of joy, but not develop it. And it'll be there to the degree that I've got enough word in me and enough faith for it to function. But the more I call it up, the more I make decisions to walk in it in the midst of my storms, the more I choose peace instead of conflict, peace instead of getting upset and angry, peace in the midst of my daily trials and problems. No matter what's going on, I choose God's peace. The more I do that, the stronger that peace becomes in my life, the more I'll recognize the enemies to my peace. And peace has enemies. And peace is an enemy to those enemies. So it's a big enemy to those enemies. So I have to develop not only peace, but the other fruit as well. And we'll find as we go through these fruits, we'll find how they're interconnected. How one fruit draws on another fruit to strengthen it, or it will require another fruit to function, even though it's its own fruit. When we exercise patience and self-control, those are also two fruits of the Spirit. When we exercise patience and self-control, which are also fruits of the Spirit, we will also develop peace. If you're not walking in patience and self-control, where does your peace go? Right out the window.
No.
You have to make a quality decision. I'm going to be patient here. I'm going to exercise patience here. And it's a fruit like peace is. So I have to call it up. I can't pray for it to come. It doesn't come that way. I have to exercise that fruit. And when I do, peace is the result. But I have to have a focus on peace for the patience to work. And we say, well, self-control is the same thing as patience. It's not. And we'll find out that later on. There are two different things. They sound alike, and people think they're the same, but they're not. But I don't have time to go there now.
They're normally found in the same context.
Yeah. They are normally found in the same context, Nate. That's right. They require one another.
Yeah.
But their focus is different. They have the effect that they have is different.
Well, you wouldn't have any of it if it wasn't for love.
It wouldn't have any of it if it wasn't for love. See, I've got to choose love in order to function in peace. That's what authorizes my peace and patience in these other. That's why it's first in line there.
Mm-hmm.
And it should make sense. God is love, and we are born of love. And since we're born again of love, then we're love creatures, then love is a primary element that we should be walking in every area of our life. And we've talked about the love walk before, and it's not in my message here, but it's 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, Amplified 8a. That's the best list you can possibly get to check whether or not you're walking the love walk. You do that, peace and patience and the fruit of the Spirit are automatic. You are developing those fruits when you walk the love walk. Mm-hmm. You're also developing your faith. Mm-hmm. And you're developing the strength in the Word, because you can't do any of it without the Word either. You have to have, it's always love, the Word, and faith. Those three elements are always present. Mm-hmm. You eliminate one, they don't work. So you have to do, you have to walk in love by faith.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to walk in love without faith. And your faith works by love, but yet faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. They function together as a unit, and they always do in whatever you're doing. So when we exercise patience and self-control, which are also fruits of the Spirit, we will also develop peace. And the other fruits will be functioning there too. I've already done verse 22 of the Amplified, if you need to. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. Worry and fear are enemies of and the opposite of peace. If you're a person that walks in worry, you cannot walk in peace. You have to deal with that worry. And peace will deal with it. It will deal with it. Peace will overcome and cancel worry and fear. But that's your choice. Worry and fear are major enemies of and the opposite of peace. A lot of people want to walk in fear and worry, or think they have to walk in fear and worry in an area, but they want to walk in peace at the same time. One cancels the other. It just doesn't work that way. You can try, you can pray for peace. Pray for patience in this situation, but it will not come because you're focused on worry, even though it's available.
Well, and with peace, when you truly get to a point where that is your goal, worry and fear just cease to exist. They can't be there.
They will try.
They'll try, but if you're really going to, they cannot.
They cannot. But at any point, you can choose to worry. No matter how strong you are in the Word, no matter how strong you are with God, how much Word you have in you, there are times when you're going to have to choose the peace over the worry. You're going to have to focus on the Word. Focus on your love walk. Focus on something other than that. It is impossible to walk in peace and worry and fear at the same time. You cannot do it. It's not possible. So check your life out. If you are a worrier, or if you're functioning in worry, then you're going to have to do something about that. You're going to have to start drawing on peace in your life, drawing on that fruit that's in your life. You're going to get the Word, the scripture you're dealing with, anchor in that Word, confess it, speak it, talk it. Keep it coming out. Keep it being the focus instead of what the problem or issue are. You have to do battle with it. And if you don't do battle with it, it'll take you to the cleaners. Because it has a right to function if we don't kick it out. Whichever you yield to, that is what will be functioning in your life. Neither one can function on their own. Even though peace is already resonant in the born-again believer, it cannot function until the person draws on it, exercises it, has faith in it, does something with it. If you don't, then the other has a right to work, because the law of sin and death is in this world, and it functions there. So it has a right to pester you. But again, at any time, you can pick up that piece and get rid of it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has authority over the law of sin and death. We are the ones that choose which one is an authority in our life. There's only those two forces. No matter what anybody says, well, I don't believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter. You're automatically in the law of sin and death, because it has a right to be here. Well, I don't believe in all that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, you're still there. It doesn't change anything. You are there automatically. If you don't choose the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, then the other one's functioning. You may not recognize it. You may not even account it to that. But it's there. Because there's only two. There's only those two laws. And God didn't create the one. Satan did. Satan is the author of the law of sin and death. Well, I've been redeemed from the law of sin and death. We have been at the cross. But there's also a curse of the law. We've been redeemed from that. But it's still out there and we can walk in it even though we're redeemed from it. See, I'm the one that determines that. Not God. He's made his choice. He's paid the price. Everything's available, right down to putting himself in us. It's all available. But if I don't make the choices, the other one has a right. So, does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
There are two laws. And even if I don't believe that Jesus is Lord, he's still Lord. He's absolute Lord. No matter what religion I'm going to, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel like, he's absolute Lord. And you will find out that out. Romans 8:2, and this is a New King James Version. I'll be going to the Amplified off and on, but this is the New King James. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. So see, the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The law of our new being. We got born again. We're a new being. We're not the same as we were. Has freed me from the law of sin and death. So I am free. But I can still walk there. I always use Otis on Andy Griffin because it's as close to the type and kind as I can come up with. Otis would get real dead drunk, just flopping over drunk, and he'd walk into the jail on his own, grab the keys, open the door, put himself in jail, lock the door, and hang the key right next to the jail there where he could reach it any time. He put himself in there, and then when he got sober, he unlocked the jail himself and walked out. He didn't have to go to that jail. He could have stayed out. And that's the type and kind of us. We are free. But sometimes we lock ourselves up. But we can get out anytime we want to. Thank God we can. But some of us don't know that. And we don't realize it. So we stay there. Satan deceives us. If we don't know we're free. So this is important for us to see. We're going to go next to Romans 8:5. Just down the road. If we choose to be carnally minded or worldly minded, the law of sin and death will have authority in our lives and we will not walk a life of peace. If we choose to be spiritually minded or God's living word minded, the law of life in Christ Jesus will have authority in our lives and we will be walking a life of peace. I'm the one that chooses which one I want to walk in. I don't want to walk in sin and death. No, you don't choose the one. You're going to walk in the other one. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Notice, they set their minds on that. They're making a choice. That's what that means. If I set my mind on something, it means I'm choosing that. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh or the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now the word set is automatic. It's understood there. It's talking about the same thing. But those who live according to the Spirit, you could say set their mind on the things of the Spirit, because it's what it's talking about. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, the Word tells us which to choose. I set before you life and death, choose life. You know, I mean, it's an open book test. I mean, all we got to do is just look. It's there. Satan cannot do anything to us. Absolutely nothing apart from fear. He has to have fear or something related to it to function. So he tries to get us to agree with those things. He can't put them on us. We have to agree with them. He tries to get us to meditate on the problems, trials, and tribulations of life and to focus on them instead of focusing on the answer. Instead of focusing on what the Word says about that circumstance, we focus on the problem and the problem gets bigger and we wonder why. Because he's deceived us into focusing on that. He can't make us focus on it. He causes us to choose, to think that we have no other way. There's no way out of this. This is so big I can't handle it. No, you can't handle it. That's why God put a spirit inside you. That's why he gave us the Word, so that we can go to the Word and use the higher law above that to overcome it. But if he can keep us focused on that problem, we're going to stay right there and it's going to get bigger. And we'll blame God every time. God, I asked you to help me. He did. But now it's my turn. I got to activate what he already did. And then I got to believe it and stand on it. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Does that make sense? But then you reverse that. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. See, faith is authored by God. It's who he is. It's his force. Faith is from God. Fear was authored by Satan. So when you function in fear and worry, who are you moving? Now, these things are so simple, we make them complicated. And that's what Satan wants. It's very simple. If I'm running around in fear and worry and focused on that, and I'm functioning on Satan's campground, I'm in his camp. He has a right to function there. If I don't want him to bring those things to me, then don't function there. Don't give him a door to walk in. Function in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word. Faith in the Word. So this is very important to us. In order to walk in peace, we must walk in faith and love. You are not going to walk in the fruit of peace without walking in faith and love. To put worry and fear under, we must replace it with something stronger. The Word of God is stronger than fear, and it is a higher law than fear. I want to read that again because it's important. Someone listening to this thing needs this. To put worry and fear under, we must replace it with something stronger. The Word of God is stronger than fear, and it is a higher law than fear. But again, the lower law has a right to work and function if I don't enforce the higher law. We must develop our faith in the Word of God. The Word is our sure, steadfast anchor. In order for us to have faith in the Word, we must have knowledge of the Word.
Amen.
You cannot have faith in the Word if you don't have knowledge of it. So what's that tell you? Spend time in the Word. Faith
develop
comes...
Truth.
Pardon?
Develop the truth.
Develop. Get up, open your Bible, spend some time, speak it, confess it, pray it, listen to it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. But faith comes by hearing the words of the world as well. And see, Satan knows that. If you're busy, focused on the problems of worry and fear, and focusing those things, guess what's coming? You worry about something or fear something because you have faith in that thing happening. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't worry about it if you didn't think it was going to happen. Why are you worried about it? So, if you don't do battle with that, your faith in that worry and fear is developing the problem. I'll read those again. In order to put fear and worry under, we must replace it with something stronger. The word of God is stronger than fear, and it is a higher law. We must develop our faith in the word of God. The word is our sure anchor. In order for us to have faith in the word, we must have knowledge of the word. We must have knowledge of the word. Say that with me. I must have knowledge of the word. I must have knowledge of the word. That's a choice that I have to make. If I'm choosing to want that fear and worry and problem to go away, and I'm not doing anything to combat it, it's going to get bigger and bigger. I'm going to get weaker and weaker and further away. And I guarantee you, you'll throw some prayer up like, help me, and you'll blame God for it not working. But he's not guilty. He's already put everything we need out here for us. So I have to develop the knowledge of the word. He doesn't unzip my head and stick it in there. I'm going to have to keep it before my eyes and in my ears and in my mouth as I speak it. We must speak the word out of our mouth, believing that we receive. Not just once, but continually. Our faith will not work beyond our level of confession. It's just that simple. Now, I can confess the word. I can stand there and read that Bible out loud and it not work. Well, you said confess it, but you didn't receive it or believe it. See, you have there's another part there that we have to do. I can say it all day long. I can tell you words to speak, confessions to make, and if all you do is just rattle that off and you're not believing it, it's just a bunch of words. You may as well say Hansel and Gretel, Jack and Jill, or whatever. But if you want it to work, you have a right to make a choice to believe it. You have that right. God gave it to you. That's why he gave us the word, for us to believe. And if we believe it, then God backs it. But if we just talk it and there's no faith, that's what Israel did. They had the word, Hebrews 3 says. They had the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. So what happened to them? They spent 40 years in the desert, and the ones that came out of Egypt never did go in to the promised land. They all died in the desert. Why? It's very clear in Hebrews 3 and 4 what happened. They didn't mix the word they had with faith. They didn't believe it. We got the same thing. There's no difference between them and us. We've got the word. We've got more than they had. We even got the Holy Spirit living in us to teach us the word. So if we don't believe it, we're more guilty than they are. The problems that come our way are going to be more intense because the one that freed us, died for us, he paid that price. And he gave us his own personal spirit living in us to teach us and to strengthen the word when we hear it, to take that word and believe it. All believing is a choice. You know, we talked about believing before, but when you believe something, you trust it. Faith and believing and trust are a little bit different, but they're synonymous terms. They go together. If you don't trust someone, you're not going to believe them. If you believe the word, you're going to trust it. But what did we say? Some of us heard me say it before, others didn't. Trust cannot be earned. It can only be granted. So what I have to do is grant my trust to that word. I may not understand it. The enemy may be coming to me telling me it's not going to work this time. I know you know all those people that did what you said you're doing and they died. Yeah. What I'm doing has nothing to do with what they did. I don't know what they did. I can only base the word on what I do with it. I'm this one inside here. Kathy can't believe for me. Neither can my dear friend who would love to. But you can't. We have to believe for ourselves. I have to decide I trust you, Lord. I trust the word. That's what it says. I don't understand it. It don't look like that's going to work. But it's God's word. It's absolute truth. And I trust it. And that's the way we're supposed to live our life. Trusting God's word. So here we say we must speak the word out of our mouth. Why? Because that's when it goes into your spirit, man. And that's when it's activated. You speak it. Even if it's under your breath, you declare what it says. And then those angels hearken to the voiced word. Psalm 103, verse 20. The angels hearken or pay attention to or grab a hold of and carry forth the voiced word. If I just think it, it's not voiced. Well, I can't speak. What do? You can speak. God will honor that. He'll honor the faith in your heart. But if you can speak, you better speak. You take the word and let that be what you say about your circumstance or situation. Don't agree with people that say it's not that way. If you have to, don't say anything. Let them talk. You speak the word. You trust God's word. That's what you do. Hallelujah. And we got to believe we receive it. See, I can even believe the word, but not receive it. That's another reason why you speak the word, is because when you speak it and you tack on thanksgiving with it, now you've received that word. You see it as being yours right now. And as you do that, what's going to be the result of it? You're going to walk through that problem in peace. God's going to shore you up with peace. He's going to see to it that you're strengthened in the middle of that problem or issue. Now, you're going to slip and fall. You're going to get your eyes off of it and on that problem. But that's when you take a hold of the word again. It becomes your anchor. That's why I call it our anchor, is because it's something we grab onto and we anchor our faith in it. So, yeah, but the word says. And that turns, we trust that word. We'll look at Proverbs 18:21. We must speak the word out of our mouth, believing we receive, not just once, but continually. Our faith will not work beyond our level of confession. And here's one of the reasons. Proverbs 18:21, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This thing, what you say, is what it's talking about. Death and life comes from what you speak. If you're focused on that problem and that's what you're talking, guess what you're getting? Death. But if you speak the word, you declare the word because you trust it. That's what you're saying. You are controlling the words of your mouth. Now life comes from that. Because God's word is life. And it says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's what it's saying. What you're saying is going to come to pass. It's going to bear fruit. That's what it's saying there. Death or life, whatever you're saying, will bear fruit. And you'll eat it. It'll affect your life. That's what it's saying. Our next one, and we've read this one before many times, but we're going to read it again. And this is in the Amplified Classic New Testament. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. The first time I read this, and it really hit my spirit, I've up and through the New Testament probably 200 times. But one of those times, whatever one it was, whatever number it was, I read that, and it just rattled my timbers. The power that's in this verse, and it's what I call an absolute. Can't be changed. Who said it? Jesus said it. Is it truth? It's truth. He said it. It can't be changed. I can choose not to believe it, but it's still that way. It's still exactly the way he said it. Matthew 12, verse 36, and I'm reading the Amplified Classic. It's similar but than the others. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Now, he said, we will have to. It's not something that we can say, oh, yeah, but Lord, I didn't mean that. You said it. You said it. So it's out there. Verse 37. For. So he's saying why this is that way. For by your words. I can say Michael's words. For by your words you will be. Another absolute. You will be justified and acquitted. And by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Now, that verse scares a lot of people. But it shouldn't. Because if my words are lining up with the word, then I'm justified and acquitted.
Amen.
I like that. Justified. Just as if I never sinned. Acquitted. What does acquitted mean? They brought me up before the court. But there's no case. He didn't do anything. He's released. What court are we talking about? The high court of heaven. Mm-hmm. But we're also talking about the court that functions in our life every day. Because this is not just future tense. This functions in our now moment. When do we speak our words? In our now moment. In our everyday life, when we walk through our life. I'm speaking words now. Mm-hmm. You'll speak some more after a while. I spoke some earlier today. Some of them, well, today was okay. But there are times when my words don't necessarily come out quite like I want them to. So I got to repent of that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. If I'm born again, I can repent of that. And the blood of Jesus will wash all that away. And it never existed. But if I'm not, now I've got trouble. Or if I don't confess it, then it'll stay there. But see, God give us a way to wipe those words out. It's weed killer. Spiritual weed killer. You know, I can take that word, Father, I'm so sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that to that guy. I was mad, I was angry, and I should not have been mad or angry. I should have overcome that, but I didn't. I let those words fly out. Father, I'm sorry. I repent of that. And I ask you to forgive me. I know you already have. But I receive that forgiveness right now by faith. And the neat thing is 1 John 1:9 comes in here. That's our next where we're going. But remember this. Make this Matthew 12, 36 and 37 a key verse in your life so that you can guard what you say. If you know this truth, because even if you don't believe it, it's still functioning. So if you know this truth, put a guard on your mouth. Mother asked one time, Lord, put a guard on my mouth. And what did he say? He's right here. Here's your guard.
That's what he did.
Right there. The word. So now let's look at 1 John 1:9. I'm going to read this in both the New King James and the Amplified. Focusing on the Amplified because it's a lot stronger. 1 John 1:9 is in the back of the book. If. Now we know what the word if does. We've talked about it, and I cannot pass a word like that up without saying it. I've been assigned to that. If is conditional. It means you have a choice to make. If you do this, this happens. If you don't do it, this happens. So, and who's this? A lot of people, I've heard sermons preached to the unsaved, to the lost, using this as a scripture for salvation, and it's not. This scripture was written to the saints, written to the church. This scripture is for the born again. for those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 are for the lost. This is to the born again. If we confess our sins, so what are we supposed to do?
Confess
it. How do you confess something? You say it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, all is all. Now, let's listen to the same thing in the Amplified Classic. If we freely admit, now I can confess something under duress. You know, you can keep me in that chair. The cops or police take you in there and stick that light on you and talk to you all night long. Okay, I did it. Now, you confessed, but you didn't do it. You confessed because you were pressured into it.
Yes.
And sometimes the enemy can put pressure on us and we'll confess to something that we didn't do.
Yeah.
Or we can be forced into it by something. So in the New King James, when it says, if we confess our sins, it's understood there by saying that you did it because you wanted to. But the Amplified brings that out. If we freely admit, so I'm coming to confess my sins because I want to. I want to come before the Lord and I want to tell Him I did this, whatever it is. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will, that's an absolute, will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it says what that unrighteousness is. Everything not in conformity to His will, in purpose, thought, and action. So what is a sin? That's what a sin is. It's everything not in conformity to His will in purpose, thought, and action. That sums up what a sin is. It's things that separate you from God. Things that are contrary to His ways. That's why we're talking in this series, this being number 23, we're talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. Because we're learning how to conform our ways to His. We're learning how to walk in this dark world the way He would walk, the way He wants us to walk. So that when we walk through this world and we got problems and issues and turmoil, we got the Holy Spirit right here, strengthening us, teaching us, leading us through it, telling us what to do. And in our simple way, even if I don't know all of these terminology, mm-hmm. if my heart is right towards Him, He's leading me and guiding me. Because He wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us. He loves me. And He does not want me to go through those storms of life. Do you know that many of the storms we live in our life, we created ourselves?
Oh, yeah. I know.
If we would have just simply walked the love walk, mm-hmm. the way He told us to walk, we would have avoided, I would venture to say, 90% of our problems. There'd still be some out there,
mm-hmm.
and the enemy will try to bring the others. But I don't have to walk in that,
mm-hmm.
because He's leading me and guiding me through it. He loves me, and He's in me, guiding me. If I'll spend my time in His Word, He'll guide me through those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something else. There's no such thing as a person that's so dumb he can't lead and guide. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us. And if He has to teach us to read, He'll teach us to read. There's been people, one major minister, all he could read was the Bible. He brought anything else to him, he couldn't read it.
Uh-huh.
Not that he didn't want to, he couldn't read it. He was anointed to read the Bible. And there's been others that have been taught to read the Bible, but they can't read anything else. Because they're reading it by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? Though there's testimonies to that effect. Mm-hmm. You can't be so dumb mm-hmm. that God cannot teach you. If all he ever teaches you is to love the Lord, to love him and to love those around you, that's all you need to make it. Because everything else will fall into place. That's so awesome to me. We are so deeply loved. And if he has to renew your mind to the place where you can become a scholar, he'll do that. And he'll tell you where to go to be taught. There are several major ministers that were stutterers that couldn't speak, and he healed them. One of them was local, Dave Thomas. You might not know who he was. He's up in Herman now, a real strong man of God.
He was tongue-tied.
He was tongue-tied. He couldn't speak. And he spent his time in Proverbs. He's healed. One of them was Oral Roberts. Mm-hmm. We all know him. He couldn't speak.
No, he could not. He was a terrible stutter.
But the Word healed him. He spent his time believing and trusting in God healed him. There's no obstacle, no matter what it is, God can't take care of for you. But if you don't believe it, you're going to have to dig yourself out. Because he can't do anything without you. Wow. You have to want him to. And he will. He'll teach you. He'll start in little bitty ways and lead you up just the right way for you to learn. That's so awesome to me. Beyond, I can't say how awesome that is. This particular verse, 1 John 1:9, is one of my favorites because if it could be wore out, it would have been wore out.
Yeah.
Because I have used it. I can't tell you how many times I've used that verse. So this verse brings a lot of confidence to me. If we are to overcome, if we are to overcome the enemies of our peace, we must take the word of God on purpose. Trust it and have confidence in it. That's my part. Otherwise, we're not going to walk in peace in this world. And let me, you probably already know it, but let me let you in on a secret. It's dark outside. Not just because it's night, but it's not going to get any better. It'll be getting better in the church. People that know the Lord, they'll have joy. They'll walk in faith, and there'll be miracles happening all around them. And there'll be a one heart. That's what's going to happen to the church.
Wow.
But those that are straddling the fence, those that are not serious, they'll eventually go by the wayside. There's going to be a very clear division between those who love the Lord and who are walking with him and those who are not. They call it the great falling away.
Oh,
and they think that's a negative, but it's not. You know, sometimes, like pruning a vine, we had an awesome study. I don't know if you were there yet, not Gene or not. I don't think you were there yet in church. We had an awesome study on the vine and the branches. It was just very, very phenomenal what came forth in that. I got those tapes and messages yet. But that vine is very important. When that branch is broken off, there's no life in it. There's no life in it. That vine is what supplies the life to the branch. There's, when that vine is no longer able to function and supply life to that branch, because it's broken off or whatever, the branch deteriorates and dies. And that's what happens to us when we're straddle the fence.
Wow.
And we're going the world's way more and more, and eventually we'll just quit. And it's so sad that so many people that got so-called hurt in church and are no longer in church. Mm-hmm. That's so sad. But see, the problem was, and God showed me what the problem is. And you can almost look at those that are there. And when they give your testimony, the same comment comes up. This person or that person hurt me. The problem is, they're looking at God through the people, not at the people through God. Their perspective is not right. So when you look at God by basing his actions on the people around you, you're going to fail. You're going to fall short. They're going to fail you somewhere. No matter how strong they are, somewhere along the line, they're going to fail you. And you'll walk off hurt and blame the church and God. And it's not God's fault. But if you focus on God and see His church through His eyes and through the Word, then you'll see it totally different. The church will not be able to, the people in that church will not be able to hurt you because you're walking in love. You're seeing the people through His eyes. And there's a totally major difference. But if you, people can be in church for 30 years and go from this church and into that church and into another church. The common denominator is they hurt me over there. Mm-hmm. I'll never go back there. Mm-hmm. Now they got bitterness. Mm-hmm. They got anger. Mm-hmm. They got unforgiveness going. Mm-hmm. What do you think's happening in their life? That you don't do that. See, it's dangerous. And we'll blame the church for that. And it's not the church at all. Mm-hmm. It's just people. And I'm supposed to forgive them. That's my job. I'm supposed to walk in love. And if I can blame a church like that, what am I going to do out here in the world? I'm going to go right in the ditch. That's what's going to happen. And we'll blame God. Well, I can worship God right out here. Well, yes, you can. You can do that. There's not a problem with that. God wants you to. Mm-hmm. But you can't join hearts out there with the church. See, the church needs you. The church needs us. And it's not what I get out of church. It's what I put into it. No. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's God flowing through me to the church. No. Not the church flowing to me, in me, and what I get out of it. No. There's a big difference in the two. And there's a lot of people around here with certain ministries that have been hurt and they're still mad at the person. That should have never happened. Was there wrong there? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But God didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And we're responsible to forgive, let it go, and speak blessing, pray for your enemies. That's what Jesus said to do. And you love them. I pray for those particular people every single day, calling forth peace and rest and reconciliation. That's what our ministry is. That's what we do. We travel to churches as God leads so that we can be an instrument of reconciliation. The biggest place, we want to reconcile the world to Jesus, but there's a lot of need for reconciliation inside the church itself. And our job is to go where He tells us to go, and pray. And to continue to pray for that church. We got a whole stack of them that we're praying for. We already got the next 6 months laid out that we believe God leading us a certain way. So it's important. I didn't mean to get off on that, but we need to see these things. We need to see it from God's angle of view and say, how can I do that? He's God. Well, He tells us His angle of view right here in the Word. His will is His angle of view. And when we study and we pray, we'll always find out that His ways are His view. His ways are His view. That's the way He sees things. He sees it as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what He looks at. That's how He sees things. And that's what we're supposed to be seeing that way. Not easy. So I'll repeat that again, if we are to overcome the enemies of our peace, we must take the Word of God on purpose, trust, and have confidence in it. 1 John 3 and verse 21, I'm using the New King James here, and I'll reference the Amplified in a few minutes. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, why would my heart condemn me? Because I'm not walking the love walk. I'm not walking right with God. Mm-hmm. So I will know it in here. Mm-hmm. I will know that. What do I do then? Am I done? Am I lost? No, you're not lost. That's what 1 John 1:9 is, we spoke about. We go and repent. Repent means to turn away from. So if I say I repent, Lord, and continue there, I haven't repented. If I repent of that, then I've turned away from it. I'm going the other way. Turn around. That's what that word means. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. See, it depends on what's here. If there's anything that I believe is separating me in some way from God, I need to take care of that. It has nothing to do with your feelings. You do it by faith. And you trust the Word and you trust God. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, this verse 22 is based on doing verse 21. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him. We like that. That's what it says, Brother Michael. I asked for that and I didn't get it. Uh-huh. Well, what about the rest of that? Mm-hmm. He didn't stop there.
Yes.
He says, because. So there's more to that verse than that.
Yeah.
Well, let's break that verse down.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this, we receive whatever we ask from Him, because we have confidence toward God, because our heart does not condemn us. That's one reason. That has to be in place. The next one is, because we keep His commandments. And what are His commandments? The Word of God. It's clear. And they're all in love. Every one of them is love. As we walk the love walk, we've completed them all. The third one is, we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What's pleasing in His sight? How do I know if it's pleasing? Well, it's all the love walk. And it's impossible to please Him without faith, according to Hebrews. So we know that I've got to believe Him. I've got to trust Him. I've got to have faith in His Word. That's my choice. I choose that. Well, I don't know how to get faith. I just told you, you have to choose it. And you choose it based on what He said. You trust that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pleasing to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it says whatever is not of faith
mm-hmm.
is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's carnally minded,
mm-hmm.
which is death.
Mm-hmm.
If I trust Him, if I believe Him, if I'm focusing on His Word, then that pleases Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm spiritually minded. These things are all connected. The Amplified Classic says, we habitually practice what is pleasing to Him. I like that. Now, I can do those things that are pleasing to Him now and not later. But the Amplified is bringing out that we do it habitually. We habitually practice doing what is pleasing in His sight. So this is a lifestyle for me. I am loving the Lord. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in His Word. I slip up, but I repent. And I fix it. He fixes it for me when I repent and confess it. So I'm walking this love walk. So it's a habit with me. It's a lifestyle. I am on purpose making these decisions. That is what's pleasing to Him. Now the next one is, we believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Amplified there says, Amplified Classic, we put our faith and trust in and adhere to and rely on the name of His Son Jesus Christ, or in His Word, because Jesus is the Word. So not only do I just believe on His name, the Amplified has taken that word believing and explaining what that means. To believe means to put faith and trust in what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It means to adhere to it. And to rely on it. And we've talked about those before. To adhere to something is like Velcro. Sticks together. Or you use glue on something. Elmer, not Elmer's, but the other one, real stick too tight ones, you're not going to get apart. Adhere to, that's adhere to. Rely on means I'm leaning on it. I lean on this table and it's supporting me. All of my weight's on that table, I'm relying on it. But that table has an opportunity and a chance to give away and I'll fall. But if I rely on the word, it will not give way. It cannot give way. So that's what's pleasing in his sight is when I put faith in, put trust in, adhere to, and rely on the name of his son Jesus or the word, because Jesus is the word. The next one is, we receive whatever we ask for because we love one another as he gave us commandment. Love is always involved. It's always involved. So those are the conditions. We have confidence towards God because our hearts does not condemn us. We keep his commandments. We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ. And we love one another as he gave us commandment. That's all in that verse. I just took that verse apart. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And we've been talking about confidence and trust and adhering to. And this is a very strong verse for prayer or for believing. And personally, I start my prayers here because I want this in my mouth. I'm confessing it as this is what I'm doing. 1 John 5:14. This is the Amplified. It's basically the same in the others, but it's more amplified here. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. That's powerful. What was the determining factor? I did what we talked about before, and now I have confidence because I'm doing that. I have confidence. It's a privilege of boldness. I'm assured of it. I am sure that he heard me.
Amen.
When I asked. Because I ask according to his will. Well, what's his will? The word. This is a copy of God's complete will. He will not do anything that's not here. And he will not do anything opposite of this. This is what he will do. This is what he said. So when I find those promises, one minister said there's over 7,000. I don't know. I never counted them. But however many there are, what he said he would do, he will do. And that's why it's an anchor for me. It's my anchor. If I'm going through a major problem of any kind, there's find something related to it. There's several things in this Bible that's related to everything you pray for. Numerous scriptures that are in every prayer you pray. There's others that are specific for certain things. Find the promise that's dealing with that. And take it as his word. And then pray that. That's what we do. Because God's word is absolute. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Lord, I flat enjoyed this tonight. I thank you for the word that's come forth. I thank you that even though we may not remember everything that's said, your spirit is the one that brought it forth. And it's the same spirit in me that it's in all of us. So, Father, you can bring this word back up to us as we need it, when we need it. And, Lord, it can renew our minds starting right now that we can start living a life of peace, a life walking in your ways. That's our goal. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.